Welcome to this month's episode of the World of Roofing podcast, hosted by John Kenny of Cotney Consulting and Andrew Rowley of RoofMapping.com, where we will introduce you to a new roofing industry artisan from around the world.
Hi, everyone. Well, welcome back to another great episode of World in Roofing. As always, I'm your host, John Kenny, with Cotney Consulting Group, and I have been joined by my friend and co-host, Andrew Rowley. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, healthy and strong, which is nice.
That's what we're always hoping for. You can't do any better than that. Every day you wake up and take a breath and move forward, it's a great day.
Certainly
is. So today, we have another great guest for you to introduce and meet. We have Matt Wilde. He's also a member of the Institute of Roofing, and he's the head of operations and training at Langley. And I'm pretty sure he's going to have some interesting stories to tell us about his entrance into the roofing world. So Matt, I want to go, Matt, go ahead and turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. I hope you both are all well and everyone listening there. So do you want me to start from the very, very beginning of my humble beginnings in the roofing industry?
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Okay, well, I was one of those that literally struggled at school. It was there was always something outside of the window that was a lot more important, you know, that I wanted to learn rather than what was being put on the blackboard. And it was always, it was just so dull. So music was always a piece of interest. You used to have your careers officer that would literally turn around, and once these schools realize that you're not gonna get the sets, the grades that they want, you're almost demolished onto the scrap heap, so to speak, you know, because you're not gonna give us the funding that we want, so off you go. But it was always one of those. Now, I was always good with my hands, so I literally went to college afterwards and trained as a graphic designer, believe it or not. In between of learning that trade went upside down. Where it always used to be constructing with your hands, it all went computer-based. So all of a sudden, it was the birth of the Apple Mac computer. So if it was Quark Express, Photoshop, and followed that on. And for about a year and a half, I worked as a graphic designer designing holiday brochures.
Oh, wow.
And basically despised it. Absolutely despised it with a passion, because it was turning up to the same place every single day with my usual seat, staring at the same screen. And it was around about in 1 May, I airbrushed a child out of a swimming pool because it was for an 1830s holiday brochure. And I airbrushed this young lad out, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I'm 19 years of age, and I just literally feel as though I was at the end of it. So I walked out, gave my thanks for the opportunity, walked out. The next day I walked across the road and got a job on a building site. To everyone, my parents, like, dismay and dissatisfaction. And it took me about a week to realize it was the best thing that I'd ever done. It really did. And from that, I got into a roofing company. We're looking for labourers. And hence, that was the birth of my roofing career. Mm. Started as a labourer, worked my way up, predominantly working with asphalt.
Yeah.
That was a major flat roofing installation at that time, together with 9525 roll and pour, as it was, like wallpaper in the laps and roll and pour in and down, and absolutely loved it. Every day was a different site, more or less. The most you'd on site was maybe 3 weeks, then you'd be on to the next one. Out in the open, the views, I mean, you know, people pay fortunes to the London Eye. I'd seen those views 10 years beforehand. You know, it was fantastic. So literally worked my way, learned pitched roofing as well as flat roofing. And literally got to about, I'd say, coming up to my late 30s. Now, the only problem with me, I'm 6'4". Back then, everything, because health and safety. Now, this is the other thing. I've seen health and safety move from where it was back then to how it is now. Thankfully, it's moved on tenfold. But everything basically went up a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a youngster, everything, whether it be a roll of felt, whether it be a 108 gas bottle, whether it be an 8x4 OSB sheet, everything went up a ladder. And so my back suffered from it. And then towards the later end of being on the tools, my back was going more and more often. And it got to a stage where I was regularly seeing a chiropractor. And this chiropractor said, Matt, I can keep patching you up, but the way you're going, you're going to be 50 years of age and on crutches. Now, at the time, I'm approaching 40. I'm still young at heart, definitely. And mortgage, three boys to look after. And it's okay. What do I do now? Well, when I had the roofing company and working with other people, they would always give the youngsters to me purely because I just had that way about me. I don't know why, that I wanted to teach them. I got something out of it purely because it was like, well, if I can teach you and then you, I can fast track you to get, you know, it makes my life easier, you know? And so I always had that. So I had an opportunity to join a company, start training apprentices. And again, you know when you've made the right decision, because it normally takes you about a week, if that, to actually realise, do you know what? This is me. I love this. And that was the birth of it. When I joined the company, they literally had 1.5 groups. I built that to groups in every single day, 5 groups going. And then from the birth of that, then carried on with the health and safety training, because obviously seeing health and safety, how that's moved on and taken an interest and wanting these young lads and these guys, you know, coming into the industry, but more importantly, getting up in the morning, going to work and coming home in the same state. That was important to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how that set has gone on. I've also, you know, always, there's always been that awareness that there is a massive skills gap in our industry.
Yeah.
And to me, that's only going to get larger unless we actually stop talking about it and actually act. That is only going to get larger. Predominantly, I think they claim that the average age of a roofer is about 47. And that's alarming.
Mm.
That really is alarming. So that's my passion. It's to, one, put something back into the industry that really served me well, and also give something to you know, the youngsters, because the biggest bugbear I still have is what's happening with these schools. You know, it's all about funding. That's, you know, unfortunately, it's that dark word. It's all about, we need to get as many people into colleges, into universities, so we can pay maximum funding. What about those who maybe don't want to do university? You know, we always used to have it where just because someone isn't able to absorb that information and regurgitate it onto an exam paper, their intelligence lies elsewhere with these. It's putting something in place. So we've got, you know, that in place for those youngsters. And that's where we've come in, producing your roofing apprenticeship. So I'm with a company now, Langley Training Services. I've been with Langley now for 6 years and joined Langley to build up the training department and the training services. So what our goal with our social development is basically to offer a whole start to career base training. So what we do, we offer apprenticeships for youngsters, 1 day, 2 day courses and 2 year apprenticeship programs in flat roofing. And beginning next year, we're hoping to extend that to pitch roofing as well in the Midlands area and then down south, and hopefully make it nationwide.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question on that.
Yes,
so,
cool.
On the training services that you're offering, they are more, they're wide industry, right? It's not on one particular system or anything. You're actually working to just expand the knowledge so they come from that labor into apprentice and eventually into a journeyman of all aspects. Okay.
And multidiscipline as well. So basically, we're not just looking at purpose, like focus on one roofing discipline. The apprenticeship program that we currently offer is for reinforced bitumen membrane, liquid applied, and single ply. The three predominant, and with that liquid, we're offering hot melt training as well within that. So within 2 years, you've got a multi-skilled apprentice, multi-skilled in those three disciplines. And then what we're looking to do is for slating and tiling as well in the new year.
Yeah.
So another question on the apprentice, because I know in our American audience, apprenticeship over here, we really struggle to have a training set up the way that you're doing that. There's spots and there's national organizations behind training, but it sounds like your company specifically, that's what you do, what you just explained. But what is the students coming in? How does that fund it? How do they get into your school, and how does it happen?
So that's basically the beauty of with us. It is government funded. So there's two separate pots of funding what we are fortunate to have. The main one is the government funding. So the government funds providing the company. If a company hits the certain spots, so they've got so many employers, how much the company basically turns over, they can get funding. Even if they don't quite hit that target, they offer a percentage. So the maximum that a company would have to pay for an apprentice to go on a two-year course is roughly about £550.
Wow.
That's it. But the beauty of that as well, so that's one pot of funding that the government has. We are fortunate in regards to, we have like a CITB organization. And what the CITB have done is they've offered a pot of funding as well. So what the CITB will do is they will give you so much money once throughout the course. So for example, the apprentice joins a program, completes the first year, they get an amount of money in the region of like £2,500. The second year, they get another pot of money, roughly the same. Once the apprentice has completed their program, got a certificate, they get their final pot of money. And what the CITB have been really, really great and generous with, they offer funding for this as well. If, for example, an apprentice is going to cost him more than £20 to get to work, to the college and back, they give 100% of that back.
Hmm.
They reimburse that 100%. If it's too far for the apprentice to travel each day, what the CITB will do is for the accommodation, so for having a safe hotel and their food and water, they will reimburse 80% of that. So it's all the incentives there for the companies to go, do you know what? Let's do it. Yeah. And the beauty of it is, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and what I've noticed, once a company takes that plunge and goes, do you know what? Okay, here's a young lad, take an apprentice. Within 12, 13 months, they've seen the benefit. They've seen the progression of this apprentice. They go, this is fantastic, Matt. Okay, here's three more apprentices. And what we found is, from the beginning of doing of this program, we now have a regular, I'd say about 8 or 9, even maybe 10 now, regular companies that will literally have roll on apprentices because of the benefit of it. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. So we are literally constantly having to move, constantly having to grow, because it would be very easy to just have our set network of companies. We don't want that. We want other companies to come in and benefit of this opportunity as well.
So another question. So traditionally, apprentice programs have always been 3 years, which personally I always thought was too long. People lose interest in that. So you're doing it in 2 years. Do you find now you had a lot higher success rate with graduation and people actually staying, retainage in the industry, cutting it back to a two-year program rather than traditional three?
Absolutely. I mean, look, you're always going to have, in my experience, your retention is high. You're always going to have the one or two that maybe they started the apprentice too early before they found their feet, and they found, you know what, this isn't for me. And best of luck to you, you know, absolutely. Well, I have found with having this, I mean, so far we have to date 100% success rate.
Nice.
With, I'd say on average, it's about 70% gaining the distinction grade.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Nice. And 70% and rising.
So that another is... question drilling down on that 2-year program. I know the audience wants to know. I want to know as well. So that's why I know it's a good question for the overall. How much time is spent with you in that 2-year period and going and them going back and working in the company? What's the split?
We have them in now. Different colleges do it differently. We have it for this purpose. We have them in weekly blocks each month.
Gotcha.
So they'll be with us for a week. They have then go off on site with their contractor for 3 weeks. We then have them back for the week. The reason we do it, other colleges would do it differently. Other colleges would do one day a week, one day a week, one day a week, one day a week. I want them in for the week.
I like that idea.
Well, to me, this is how you get the retention of skills. So they come in on a Monday, a bit cold. We get them hands on. They learn. But I come for it. And you, the benefit of, you know, you see them come Monday, you see the progression from Monday to Friday is huge. They go on for 3 weeks. They come back on a Monday. It's like one of those things there, one of those guitars. You pick it up, you're playing. You put it back down again. You don't play it for a few weeks. You pick it up again. Oh, hang on. I found it easy before. In fact, I'm a little bit rusty. However, it takes a short amount of time to get back to where you was. That's why we do the weekly blocks for that reason, because, you know, they might come in that Monday morning, they're a little bit rusty, but all of a sudden, come 2 o'clock on a Monday afternoon, they're where they were the following Friday. Now they're progressing.
Yeah.
And that's why we do it.
I really like that, because one is you got a week block, which you're going to get retained as you're learning in, compared to one day split out over a month. And the other big advantage, and at least in my opinion, is they get to take what they've learned in that week with you, and they've got 3 weeks to put that in practice in the real world in their company. Then they come back and learn another block of knowledge, and they're building upon it. I think I really like that approach that you're doing, and I think it's actually I know why you're so successful, because you're really building a foundation and then building your stories up from there.
Absolutely. And do you know what? See, the biggest buzz for me as well is you see the guys on a Friday, they finish their rigs, they're taking pictures, the smiles on their faces, they're walking out of our centre with their feet off the ground. You know, they're buzzing, you know. And then they're coming on a Monday. You haven't seen them for 3 weeks. We have a WhatsApp group with them, you know, throughout. Because I started it over COVID, the idea I had over COVID. A lot of the guys got furloughed. And, you know, one thing I really care about is the guys' well-being, predominantly with mental health, especially with young guys, because young men, they don't talk about their feelings. So as a group, a lot of them found they were in isolation. So straight away, we had a WhatsApp group so we could all talk, tell our stories over lockdown. And we've continued that. And so, you know, we always have contact. Any problems they may have on site, they've got easy access to talk, you know. And, you know, as a mentor, you don't just, after that week, off you go. You keep that mentor. I mean, so I say that, I keep in contact with guys that left 3 or 4 years ago, right. You know, because, you know, and even now I give them advice, because to me, you're not just a mentor while you're on the course. You're a mentor for life, really. Yeah. Oh, you know, and you become friends as well. But
you know, I've seen that on a couple of posts on LinkedIn. You know, the groups that train together are, you know, they become friends and they become like compatriots in the industry, because, you know, they're not going to become sort of fierce rivals, I wouldn't have thought. There'll always be a bit of competition in the roofing industry, but, you know, it might be that one of them subcontracting for someone else, or they'll be lending a hand, or Yeah, they might be competing against one another in tenders or whatever they're doing, but it was really nice to see the friendships that they'd formed. And like you said, they do see you as a mentor, and I've seen that in a couple of their posts as well. And that's really important that they've got that sort of figure that they can go to and each other when they come across something that's not the usual, because you'll always find that in work or in roofing, whatever you're doing. You know, they'll always think, oh my gosh, I've not come across this before. What do I do? Oh, I'll contact such and such. She was on my course and they've stayed in contact. It's always nice to have that as a point of reference as well.
To me, Andrew, it is equally as important, because it's not just about growing them as individuals in their skill set. It's growing them as men.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, and you know, as a group, that camaraderie is, to me, is so important. You know, really so important, purely because, look, in a group, you're going to get some that are natural. They're natural swimmers. Mm. You'll get some that are going to struggle. So you want that camaraderie where, you know, we work as a team. You know, we're all going to go out running, but, you know, you're going to help that person who's falling last. That's what you need. So everyone has that. They feel part of that unit, part of that group. That, to me, helps with retention as well.
Definitely.
They want to be part of that group. They enjoy being part of that group. They don't want to leave that group.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that helps as well.
Definitely. Another question I was thinking while you're going through that, actually twofold question. One is, how many trainers do you have in your company? And also, what are the average size of your classes?
So we have three trainers. Myself, Paul, who's a fantastic trainer, and we have Cameron, who literally went on. Now, with Cameron, he's been on the apprenticeship program. He's been on the training course, learning his education, done his teacher's qualification, and he's coming through that way. And he's proven to be really what a part of the team Cameron's become. So three trainers in total. When it comes to classroom sizes, we normally average it at about 12 learners per class.
That's a good size.
Yeah, we're really fortunate in regards that we've got an excellent facilities. You know, we've got really good facilities. We've got plenty of rigs there. So we've got rigs where we have guys working in twos. And again, what we'll always do is split the twos up, you know, just so you don't have like packs and itches. That helps with the camaraderie as well. Right. So yeah, group of 12 with three trainers.
That's really nice. The other one I was thinking about, like, I know over here, well, it's worldwide. There's, like you said, there's a skill shortage and a labor shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we have a labor shortage because of lack of people. We have a labor shortage because of lack of people that knowing the interest that our industry even exists and what you can actually do in our industry and the growth. And, you know, I raise my family. And like you said, it's a good living. It's a very good living. Especially in comparison to a lot of other industries and college graduate occupations. But what do you ever run into this, or is that something that you do? I'm not with a company right now, but I'm a young man or woman that wants to get into roofing, and I reached out to you. Is that something where you'd be able to? Would you be able to recommend going to a company that's doing the training, or can you bring them in and then get them associated with a company, or how would that work?
What we're starting to do as well, and it was all about getting the building blocks in place. So once we got our ROAP, and so, you know, we was able to actually deliver our own training rather than using like a partner to deliver our training, it's given the building blocks in place. What we're looking to do now is do roadshows, school nice. Visits, school talks. Also as well, is having in different areas, actually opening up. So say, for example, a company could be too busy to take interviews and spot through. So we're offering to do that service for them. Actually have like training courses, like 1-2 day courses as an introduction to roofing. Getting hands on a pitched roof or on a flat roof, actually getting hands on. Some might go, I enjoyed it. Can't see myself doing it for the rest of my life. You'll get others that go, do you know what? I could see myself doing this. We actually do the interview process for the companies. Okay, so where do you live? What's your postcode? Okay, what contractors have we got? Because it's a two-way street. What contractors, would we say, yeah, a reputable contractor who would look after this young person, treat them well, okay, marry them together, have a trial, see how they get on. After a month, maybe, okay, we're working. Now, onto the apprenticeship program. And that's what we're offering. That's what we're going to start to offer. So as it works, you know, with a two-way street. So the contractor gets a labourer, the young person gets an opportunity on the ladder into this career.
I mean, that's fantastic. You're looking at it, you know, in a whole approach, right? You got the started out, you're getting the training going now. You're bringing that next fold into the industry is how to get people interested in coming in. And I think that is a noble way that you guys are doing that. Excellent.
Thank you. It's just, you want to put something back, but you want to do it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, safeguarding is so important as well. You know, safeguarding, we need to protect the contractors. We really do need to protect these youngsters coming in. You know, it's so paramount important. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're not building their hopes up just to be dashed. You want to give them every single opportunity you can to succeed in life. That's, you know, that's fundamentally the aim and the goal.
Absolutely. Andrew, anything, any questions that you have that we haven't covered? This is a wealth of knowledge here, man.
Yeah, it is. I was reading a thread about training and how obviously some companies will go, not because of the grants, it's not necessarily their expense, but they'll put an apprentice through training and then they may have them in the company for a couple of years and then they'll leave. So I think that some of them will say, well, what's the point of training? Because they'll go elsewhere. And I think it was right. Someone commented back, well, actually, you're helping train the industry. It may not be that that individual stays with your business for the rest of their life, but you've still trained them in how to be a good roofer, and then you get the next time. So contractors have almost got to see themselves as that sort of treadmill of get them in, train them up, and let them thrive almost. And that can be difficult because there is time constraints, there's costs, and all these other things of, you know, letting them have a week off work or whatever it is. So it's got to continue to be a group effort. But yeah, I think some people are getting a bit, I train them up and then they leave, so what's the point? And it's like, well, no, don't try not to think like that if you can.
Look, 100%. But then, like I say to the companies as well, look, let's be honest. If someone's going to offer you something that you haven't got, how much loyalty are you going to show?
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, it's not until it's almost like a light bulb moment. They go, I suppose you've got a point there. But it's educating them and get changing the mindset.
Yeah. Taking that same question that you answered that Andrew brought up and taking it to the next level, if you're an apprentice, if I'm working for – I send an apprentice to you and they're training. It's a two-year program. What happens? I assume you got the deal is if the apprentice comes in with me as a company during that 2 year training, they can't really go anywhere else or the training stops, correct? Because they're being sponsored by that company to a point?
No, not at all. Because of the funding happens in a quarterly basis. This is why it's done like this. So let's just say, for example, and look, we've had it before. We've had an apprentice on a program with a company, and for whatever reason, that company had to fold. So what happens is that apprentice, we look and see what area that apprentice is in. We can then contact another contractor and say, look, I've got this guy on program. He's a really sound guy. He's, you know, reliable. Do you want to take him on? And the company, nine times out of ten, they go, yeah, of course, Matt. Yeah,
sure.
We'd love to. We can, it's a bit of paperwork. They can then continue their apprenticeship program with that company.
Well, I think that's a good way you're doing it. And you know, when I look at it, you talked about the company, and it was same thing over here. In the States, sometimes when you do these training programs, the contractors that are involved in it will do a non-poaching agreement amongst themselves that as long, you know, we're not going to take your employees, you won't take ours. Of course, the outside world can do it, but then you're not training anymore. And the other thing is the mindset. I agree that is so important. But what I always try to tell contractors that I'm talking to is the return on investment is so great, even though you're paying for it while they're there, because they are going to be a more productive and skilled a roofer for you for the time they're with you, that you're going to make more money off of them than what you invested in their training, regardless, than what if you didn't train them and they were just part of your team. So I think we get into that mindset is I'm paying for your training, but yet I know I'm making more money why I'm paying for that training than if I didn't train at all. So yes, you may go somewhere because that's the way life is. But the point is I'm getting my return on investment just for the time I'm training you and you're here no matter what.
You see, you hit the nail on the head. And this is what I tell the apprentices as well. You know, because a lot of them go, well, why do I need to do an apprenticeship program? And the way I explain it, and it works in the same way for the company's benefit, you can have a guy or a girl starts for the first day. They're labourer. They're basically cast as a labourer. They could be labouring for 7, 8, 9 years before they get a chance to actually get hands-on, have a go themselves, show a bit of, you know, that they're quite good. But then as and when, it could take anything from 9 to 10 years for that labourer to move up to what you'd call even an improver or a skilled worker.
Yeah.
That is on one's escalator. The apprenticeship program, they come in with us, they're being skilled on a week. It's basically a fast tracking process. That's a benefit for the apprentice. The benefit for the contractor is all of a sudden, this labourer comes in after, say, his full fifth week, he's able to install vapor barrier. He's able to install insulation to the right measurements, reading tapered insulation drawings, laying the insulation. All of a sudden, instead of having just a labourer, you've got a labourer stroke installer. All of a sudden, that company's going, well, hold on a minute, I allocated so many square meterage for so many guys. You've actually smashed that because that what we thought was just a labourer is helping install. Once the company see that, they are literally, you know, they're seeing the benefit of it. Hence why a lot of the companies are like, this is fantastic, Matt. Right, hang on. Let me try and get another free on the program. Because they're seeing the benefit of it.
Sure. No, I agree. Well, I tell you what, we could go on for hours. There's no doubt. This is a super exciting topic. And it is a hot topic throughout the world in training and getting people up to speed and skills. But as always, this is a podcast and then we keep it at a shortened time. But before we close in, Andrew, is there any final closing questions that you would have for Matt?
No. I think it's been really enlightening. I've spoken to Matt before at the training centre. It is a really good facility. And I think it may have been Cameron who, you know, gave a demonstration to a group of us, you know, professional building surveyors and property managers. You know, he had such confidence. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it was really great to see that sort of confidence in him. You know, what I'm trying to do with roofmapping.com is inspire, you know, these youngsters to see roofing as, wow, this is pretty cool. Matt and I were at a show the other week where someone said that roofing isn't sexy. And I said, well, actually, it is. You just need to know where you're looking. And, you know, I'll continue to promote that and show people that roofing is sexy. And it actually, it's pretty cool. You know, some of the stuff up there that we never see is installed really well and looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll continue to do
and
that.
There's nothing more important than when you're traveling with friends and family and you go, hey, I did that roof. That's my roof, you know? That's where the pride comes in.
You say that, John. It drives my wife nuts.
I hear you. And mine too, but that's in our blood. It's, you know, you can't go.
Here we are.
So,
if your apprentices want to put their work on the map, just get them to get in contact. You know, they can build up, you know, a permanent portfolio of where they've been, what they've done and what company and what they're installing, etc.
You know,
free service.
We'll definitely do that. And what I'll do, I'll give you a list of ex-apprentices that are actually doing their, you know, a lot of them are doing their own stuff now.
Yeah, that sounds good. Brilliant.
that they love that, you know, they're you know, introduced them to LinkedIn. We're big on that as well, and promotion. So that would be the next
sounds good. Brilliant. Thank you.
Wonderful. So, Matt, on closing here, do you have anything that we didn't cover with you that you'd like to tell us, or do you think we got?
No, just finish off. You know, we don't just deal, you know, on the apprenticeship program. What we also look to do is to do the whole education side. So just it doesn't stop at beginners. Once, you know, the apprentice has gone on, we can get them doing level three. What if they decide my body's aching, we can get offer them the qualifications to go into supervision, contracts managing, health and safety. So it's not just, we don't just start at the beginning, we do for the whole career. So from level ones right up to level sixes, that's what we're looking to do. So it's almost like what we are is we are like almost like the one-stop shop in regards to in training, learning and development.
And I think that's so important for recruitment in the industry, that someone coming in knows there's a full career path. So absolutely. I've been at Roof for so many years, and let's face it, we all start to think in our 30s, okay, where do we go from here, right? And that's what I did. That's when I made my move into estimating and project management, and eventually running companies. And that's what I think we need to get out there, that you should start on the roof. I agree. There's nothing better than hands-on experience, but I don't think enough of the young people realize that there's a full career path out there to take them from the day one all the way up to the ready to retire.
Absolutely. They don't understand the different sectors that they can go in. So that's what we try and do as well. We give them that sort of information. And because we are still in that world where qualification speaks louder than words, you know, well, we offer that. We offer that guidance. We offer that tuition. We offer that opportunity for them. So, you know, that's what we try to do, that one-stop shop in regards to learning and development. That's who we are.
Excellent. Well, I got to say, this was a great chat today. I'm so glad we had you on. I hope you enjoyed your time here with us today. And I know our audience did. I can't wait to get this one out live on the wire. And what I'd like to say is thank you all for being here. And thank you, Andrew, again for co-hosting. And a special thank you to our audience for checking in every time. And with that being said, we're going to close this episode of World in Roofing. So we'll see you on the next one. Take care, everyone.
Bye.